So we just sang it. I want to ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Amen.
Is He welcome to do whatever He wants to do in us?
Amen.
Uh-oh. You mean He might want to do something in me? Yeah. Holy Spirit gets involved. You know, when He takes control, we lose control, right? First of all, I would like to go on public record saying that I had no idea Tim was a Packer fan when I hired him, okay? I just want that on the record. We have a friendly little wager, Tim and I do, so next week you're going to see one of us sporting the other team's cap for a few minutes. Tim, you're going to look good in a cowboy hat, buddy. You're going to look good. I want to welcome you to our church this morning. If I have not met you, if you're new to our church, I'm Pastor Hatcher, Pastor Jeff. I'm glad you're here. We're all glad that you're here. There's a blue slip in the pocket in front of you. And we invite you to register your attendance with us if it's your first time or if you've been here several times, but we don't have a record of who you are. We'd like to know who you are because that's how we get to know one another. And there's a box on there you can check to be added to our email list, and we would love to add you, and we just pray that you feel the Lord in this place this morning. I want to highlight one of the inserts in your bulletin this morning is the Exalt service coming up in 2 weeks from today. Now, we had this last year. The sponsoring group is a group called One Kingdom, which I'm part of the leadership team of that. It's pastors and Christian leaders in our community that come together, and our purpose is to lift high the name of Jesus in the city of Abilene, Texas, and the surrounding big country. That's our purpose, is to exalt the name of Jesus and to ask Him to bless our city. And we will come together 2 weeks from tonight. We had it last year at the Paramount Theater. And it was our first year, and we packed the house. And it was a blessing. I know many of you got to come to that, and it was a blessing to be there. There's not gonna be any preaching. It's gonna be worship and prayer. That's gonna be the emphasis of the evening. So we've booked the Civic Center this year, and I would love to pack out the Civic Center. Can anybody say Coliseum next year? That's what I'm hoping for, and we're praying for that. So hope that you'll be a part of that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 7. While you're turning there, I also still need some volunteers. Our church has been asked to provide ushers and greeters for that service in 2 weeks. So I know a few of you have told me that you would do that. If you can let me know, you can either let me know after church today, or you can email me and let me know that you would do that. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, now let me stop a minute. What do you do when you read this word therefore in the Bible? You go back, you back up, and you see what it's there for. Okay? So Jesus, He's saying therefore, and what He's just spoken about, He's talked about how that He's the narrow gate, and few will come into through that gate. Few will enter, and many will enter through the wide gate, which is the easy gate, where we basically just look after ourselves, and it's a self-absorbed kind of life. But Christ said, "No, I'm the narrow gate," and he goes on to talk about bearing good fruit, and all of that, He says, is the result of knowing Him. Okay? That you know, there's a lot of people that do some good things in our world, but Jesus says, right before this passage we pick up in verse 24, He says that someday they will face Him in eternity, and they'll say, "Look at all the things I did. Look, I fed the hungry, and I visited the poor, and I went to the prisons, and I did all these wonderful things." And what will Jesus say to some of them? "Away from me, I never knew you." So Jesus is talking about entering this narrow gate, bearing good fruit, and all of that is a result of knowing Him. So let's pick it up in verse 24. Therefore, Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I talked about this a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, but every time I read this passage, it reminds me of my senior year when right after I graduated high school, and yes, it was in 1978, if those, y'all can do the math. But who's did that? Must have been some young punk that did that. 1978, I graduated from Abilene High School, and me and three of my buddies. This is our last youth trip, and it's our last hoorah, and we're going to take a lake trip to Possum Kingdom. And so the four of us, you know, we were graduates, and we could be out on our own. So we ventured out. We convinced our parents. I have no idea why they were this foolish, but we convinced them to let us go before the group and to reserve. You know, our excuse was we need to reserve some spots. And so we got up there, and the four of us got up there a day or so early before everybody else came, and we're skiing, we're having the time of our life, and this park ranger comes, and it started to sprinkle there a little bit, and we thought, oh, man, I hope our weekend isn't ruined, you know. And the park ranger came, and he said, hey, boys, and we thought, well, we didn't do anything, what did we do? And he said, your moms and dads called and said, it's flooding in Abilene, you need to get home ASAP. So we had two pickups. One of the pickups was carrying this little pop-up. Do you remember those little pop-up tent campers? You know, you stick the little poles in there and all that. We had a pop-up tent camper with a camper shell on one of the pickups. And the other pickup was pulling the boat. So we head back, four of us and these two pickups. We coming back, we cross through Breckenridge. We get across the bridge there at Lake Hubbard Creek. We cross there, and we weren't too far on the other side of that bridge. And one of the pickups broke down, okay? And it's dark, and the rain is picking up, and it's really getting kind of bad. So we found this farmhouse. We went up and knocked on the door, didn't scare these people too bad, and told them that we would like to, one of our pickups broke down, could we leave one here? So we all piled into one pickup, left that pickup there. Now, being the highly intelligent young men that we were, we left all of our wallets and all that stuff in the pickup that we left behind, thinking we're going to drive straight to Abilene and no, we're not going to need our wallets and all that kind of stuff. So we get to Albany, okay? We get to Albany, and the bridge is washed out. And when you cross that bridge and go up the hill to come back to Abilene, the bridge is washed out. They're not letting anybody through. So we're thinking, okay, we'll go back and we'll find a side alternate route. And so come to find out, all of the routes, north, south, east, and west, everything's flooded out. Everything is washed out. So we found our rock. We found our foundation of the rock, and its name was Dairy Queen. That's where we spent the night, Dairy Queen. Now, we had no money. We were cold because we were wet. It had been raining and so forth. And all these people are getting these big old burgers, you know, and stuff, and bringing them to their table, and us four guys, we like to eat, by the way, and we're just sitting there. I think we had like $1.50, and you know what we spent it on? We bought some cards to play some cards. That's how intelligent we were. So finally, I drew the short straw. We'd been there several hours. We're starving to death, freezing to death, and I drew the short straw to go ask the lady if we could work for some food. This was a bad night, okay? It was a bad night. So I went and got my pitiful look on. I went to the counter and I asked this lady, and she said, oh, honey, you boys, y'all order anything you want. Well, I'm talking double meat, double cheese, large onion ring. I mean, we were firing it up. And so The bridge was literally looked like an accordion the next morning when it got light. There was, and I make fun of it, but it was a serious situation. Tropical storm Amelia had flown through had come through our region and had flooded that area. There was 13 people in Albany, Texas that lost their life. Four of those 13 they've never found. They were buried so deep under the mud and so forth, they never found four of those bodies. And we were scared to death, but we had a safe place to hold up in Dairy Queen. We were safe there. We got word back to our moms and dads through ham radio operators. Anybody remember ham? Do they still have ham radio operators? We got through with a ham radio operator to tell mom and dad, we're safe. We're okay. But we had a place to hold up. We had a foundation on the rock, if you will. We're starting a sermon series this morning called Weathering the Storm. Weathering the Storm. And today is entitled Secure a Solid Foundation. Did you know that life is tough without Jesus? Did you know that? I mean, this world throws some stuff at it, doesn't it? I mean, if you haven't experienced trials in your life yet, you will. Some are worse than others, but there will be trials coming. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't say, come follow me and life's going to be easy. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's something about this solid foundation that Jesus Christ provides that makes life survivable. In other words, Jesus is the solid foundation that we place our hope in. Now, there's an old song that I love. It was written in 1834, and I kind of did some research on this song. It was written by a man named Edward Mote. It's actually in our hymnal, page 368, if you want to look it up sometime. But it's called My Hope is Built, and I just want to read the first verse in the chorus. This man, Edward Mote, he ended up late in life, in his 50s, became a pastor and served the rest of his life as a pastor. But in his early years, his mom and dad were non-believers. They were, in fact, they were kind of hostile to the gospel. And he had a man in his life who mentored him and who led him to Christ. And he wrote this in 1834. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? That you know, and I was talking to Cheryl about this the other day, that at funerals, the one thing I have to offer, I can't make the grief go away, but the one thing I have to offer that is through Christ is hope. Christians have hope in Jesus Christ. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so we place our faith in a whole lot of things in this world, don't we? I mean, if we're healthy, we got lots of friends, everybody likes us, we got a good career, we got a full bank account, all of those kinds of things all line up, then life is good, right? Because we place our faith on those things. But what Jesus is telling us here is that's like the foolish man that builds his life on the sand. Because I want to tell you that life can change in an instant. Life can change in an instant. Those things that we build our life on that are sand, they can be taken from us in an instant. But the solid rock of Jesus doesn't change. So I want us to just look at what four things that Jesus the rock provides. The first is Jesus the rock provides peace when you are anxious. Peace when you are anxious. Jesus, as he's finishing up his life, his ministry on earth, and he's preparing to go to the cross, and he's promising the Holy Spirit will come, he says these words to his disciples and to you and I as well. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Now, his peace isn't like the world's peace. The world's peace says if everything's lined up just right and appropriate, if everything's just in alignment, then I'll have peace. But Jesus says, no, through me, you can have peace no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the storm looks like. And this is one of my favorite passages to look at in Scripture. In John 20, 19, Jesus, he's got these disciples that have denied him. Peter had denied him, and they had all scattered and deserted him. And they're all huddled in a room, and they hear that Jesus has been resurrected. The women had go to the tomb on Easter morning, and they find it empty, and they find an angel that says, what's happened? And says, go and tell the brothers, the disciples, go and tell them what's happened. So they've been told, and Jesus shows up in the room. Now, do you think there was a little anxiety in the room at that moment? Do you think Peter was kind of going, uh-oh, you know? But here's how Jesus greeted them. Peace be with you. That was the greeting. The first thing out of his mouth to the disciples was, peace be with you. Jesus provides peace when we are anxious. Second thing, Jesus the Rock provides power when you are weak. Now, the world's economy of power is relying upon our strength when we got our act together. And there's nothing wrong with this, but we instill it in our children from a very early age. When the children are learning to crawl and pull up on the table and walk, you know, we're encouraged, you can do it, you can do it. And then they fall down and get up, you can do it, you can. And so there's early on this reliance on our strength. And then as we get older, I can remember, and Coach Wise will remember saying this to a bunch of his guys, but you know, you've heard me say before, but I remember playing football growing up, and you get knocked down, you know, you're like bleeding, you're like an arm like dangling off to the side, and the coach is, get up, you're killing the grass, you know, you're just, that was kind of one of their favorite things. You never said that, did you, Coach? You did? Get up, you're killing the grass. I don't know. I like that. But we, all through our lives, and we're always being encouraged to be strong, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the economy of Christ says that his power is made perfect in weakness. When we come to the end of our rope and we say, I can't do it anymore. I love this passage out of 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul is talking about having this encounter with Christ, and he wasn't sure if it was a vision or if this was really happening, but he talks about this thorn in the flesh that was given to him, and I believe that was a metaphor for something going on in Paul's life. I don't know, some struggle in his life. There was a thorn in my flesh given me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, listen to this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he goes on to say, when I am weak, Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. There's when God moves in our lives, it's through trials. It's through trials. It's when we come to the end of our rope, when something is going on in our lives, and we come to that point where we just kind of go, I can't deal with this. I can't fix it. I can't do it. It's when we come to that place, when we reach out to Christ, is when he says, I can do it, and I will do it. And that's when lives are changed. Jesus the Rock provides power when you are weak. Third thing, Jesus the Rock provides protection when you're afraid. Protection when you're afraid. Couple of passages that speak to this. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. There's this, I don't know, there's just this, when we are afraid, Christ is our protector. And again, we just talked about Jesus using this line of peace I leave with you, my peace I give with you. Listen to the rest of that verse. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus protects us when we are afraid. And then the fourth thing, Jesus, the rock, provides a plan and a purpose when you are uncertain. A plan and a purpose when you are uncertain. Our community group just started a new series this past Wednesday night. If you're not in a community group and would like to be in one, let me know. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Our community group has started this study about purpose in our lives, that the purpose that we have through Christ. And Jeremiah 29:11, it's on one of our banners over here. This is a different version, but my version, the NIV version, says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope," there it is again, "and a future." So through Christ, He provides a plan and a purpose in our lives. One of the things, this just kind of came to me this week, one of the things that that is so awesome is that Jesus transforms pain into purpose. I want that to soak in for a second. He transforms pain into purpose. There's so many examples of this where, now I tell people, you know, if someone has been an alcoholic or a drug addict or had some sort of trauma in their lives that I've never had, those kinds of things, and Christ walks them through that and heals them through those things, I tell them, you have the ability to minister to people in a way I never could, because I haven't been through that. You have. Jesus transforms pain into purpose. Most of you, if you've been here for any time at all, know I lost my brother in 2000 to a gas line explosion here in town. And as I was saying earlier, that life can change like that. Well, on September the 7th, 2000, I'm rocking along. Our family's rocking along, and life is good. We really had not had any major traumatic things in my lifetime, and I'm rocking along there that day, and suddenly I get a phone call that Jay's been in this explosion, and I can tell you that my family's life changed in an instant, just like that. And I can remember they brought Jay into Abilene Regional, and they determined very quickly he was burned over 100% of his body, third-degree burns over 100% of his body. And I didn't really know it at the time, but you don't survive that. You don't survive that. It's not possible to survive that. But they went ahead and flew him to the burn unit in Lubbock. And I remember I had left the computer industry and was in the stage of going into ministry, but doors had not opened at that point. And I remember as they flew Jay to Lubbock, I was with my mom and dad, and we got in the car and we're driving to Lubbock to try to be there as quickly as possible. And I remember all of the way to Lubbock, Jesus was just speaking to my heart, and He was saying, "Buckle your seatbelt. I'm fixing to move." He was fixing to transform pain into purpose. And I had been waiting for doors to open for ministry and opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, and I had no idea that it would come on the heels of this. But God began to open doors for me to share that even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of extreme grief, Jesus is still Lord. He is the solid rock that you can stand on. And I remember shortly, about a week or two after Jay's death, I remember we were out at his place, and I remember looking around, seeing all of his stuff, his tractor and his horse and his barn and his guitars and all this stuff out of his house. And I remember I was just grieving. I was just this deep grief that some of you know what I'm talking about. And it was just a grief in a place I'd never been to that place before. And I was just hurting so badly. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart again and just said, "Jeff, there's hurting people. What you're feeling right now, they're everywhere. They're everywhere around us. There's hurting people for all sorts of different reasons. And I want you to be an instrument of peace in their life and purpose in their life. I want you to tell them that I'm still good and that I'm still God. I feel like I feel like Jay is my partner in ministry. I feel like he walks with me through ministry because his story has touched a lot of people. A lot of police officers, Jay was a police officer, a lot of police officers have come to Christ because of that moment. They've gotten their life in order because of that moment, and many of them have contacted me about that. When the storms of life come, and they will come, because this life is tough. When the storms of life come, what or who do you put your faith in? What or who do you put your faith in? Do you put it in your family? Your friendships? Is your faith in the career, the solid career that you've built? Your finances? Your popularity? Perhaps even yourself, your own strength. Is your faith in your own strength? If you want to weather the storm, I'm just telling you, Christ is the foundation. He will weather the storm with you. His foundation is firm. Won't you just, if you would, just bow your heads here for just a minute. Lord, I thank you that you are the solid rock that we can stand on, that when the storms come, we can stand. We can stand against the storms. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide peace and power and protection and purpose in our lives. Father, if there are those this morning that don't know you, Maybe they've spent their life in church and maybe it's just all been all about just the rituals of church and trying to be a good person, all of those kinds of things, Father, that those are part of the sand. They're not part of the solid foundation. So, Lord, if there are those this morning, I pray that you would move in their hearts. Show them who you are. And there may be some who this morning who know you as their Lord, but they've forgotten how big you are. They've forgotten that there is nothing, no weapon that's formed against you would prosper. That you are bigger than anything we face. Remind us, God, who you are and how big you are. Father, we need you. We want to put your words, as you said, we want to put your words into practice. We want to know you. We want to bear good fruit. We want to enter through the narrow gate. We want to stand on the rock. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I want to just in your own heart, just pray this prayer with me. Just kind of let my words be your words if that's your heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm undone. And I need you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. I receive your love and your mercy through your shed blood. I receive your salvation, your righteousness. I ask that you would make me a new creation this morning. And that I would serve you with joy. That you would transform pain into purpose in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Our praise team will come up. As they come forward, if you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, it's really important. This is important. Come and seek me out after the service today. Come and seek me out and tell me you prayed that prayer for the first time. It's important that you do that. Let's stand as we close.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you love me. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're all.
Someone be blessed. Amen.
You're